let's join the worship center at Life Church, where the service is already in progress.
You can hang out in here, and we are continuing in a series on being known by our fruit. We are talking about fruit trees and fruit salad, and oh, I'm already hungry, and this is going downhill fast. So, we're talking about being known by our fruit. God wants us to have good fruit on our tree. And the only way that we're going to have that good fruit of the Spirit is having our roots firmly planted and grounded and strengthened in the good soil of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only a life in Christ can produce that good fruit. So our launching text has been for the past several weeks, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. It says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Notice, I was listening to a preacher this week, and he was happened to be preaching on the fruit of the Spirit. I guess it's just about that time in the kingdom, because usually you hear many people talking about the same thing. It's not because we all got together and had a meeting and said, this is what we're talking about this month. It's just because this is what God's doing right now. And so I heard a preacher talking about it this week, and he said, notice that it's singular, the fruit. You are going to have all of this functioning in your life. And if you don't have every single thing functioning in your life, then there's a root problem that we need to address. So you don't get to pick and choose which fruit. Like you get to go pick an apple tree and you say, I want a pear tree in my yard, or I want a fig tree. I think, yeah, figs grow on trees. Yeah, Brother Tavakoff can set us straight on all that. Y'all know I'm a wannabe gardener. I got plants and I haven't killed them yet, y'all. Y'all must be praying in the Spirit, because they are doing well, except they're kind of drowning this morning. But other than that, they're doing well. But notice it's one fruit. You will have every single one of these things operating in a God-filled life. And if we are missing one, then we got a root structure problem. We need to get our roots fixed and grounded better in the Holy Spirit. But like for our yards, we go pick which kind of tree we want and what kind of fruit we want. But God said that all of these are a part of the God-filled life. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence accomplishes, is love and joy and peace and patience, long-suffering, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. King James calls it temperance. Against such things there is no law that can bring a charge. And those who belong to Christ Jesus the Messiah have crucified their flesh, their godless human nature, with its passions and its appetites and desires. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. If we by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, have our life in God, in Christ, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. And I've said it every week, but it still rings true. What this boils down to is having, walking in line, having a life controlled by the Spirit. A Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled life. Not controlled by the flesh, not controlled by our own wants, our own lust, our own desires, but walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. And we've been talking about these daycare kids every week and how they line up, get ready to sing their song and go out. And I got one little girl, poor little thing, she's 2.5, she can't get in line to save her life. She just can't do it. And she runs out like we say, this is the way we tickle the class. That was what we were doing the other day. Y'all don't judge, just come by and see for yourself. So we were going, doing our little song on a Tuesday morning or whatever day it was, and she took off running. And I was like, no, sweetie, we got to get in line. We got to follow the line leader. Scotty's our line leader today. And we got to all line up behind Scotty and follow the line leader. Well, I'm telling you the same thing on a Sunday morning today. We got to get in line. We got to follow the line leader. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is our line leader. And we got to get right in line and follow the principles laid out in the Word of God if we are going to have the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, operating in our life. If we're missing love, if we're missing joy, if we're missing peace, if we're missing long-suffering, that's what we're talking about this morning. If we're missing kindness, if we're missing gentleness, if we're missing temperance, if we're missing any of these things, we need to start checking ourselves and saying, am I behind the line leader? Is my life in line with the Word of God? Or have I gone my own way for a while? It's so easy to get off track. It's so easy to get out of line. The world in which we live in today is geared to get us out of line. Think about it. We have so much media coming at us all the time. We have so many things going on at job. We have so many things going on at home. We have so many things going on with the kids. It's so easy to get out of line. Not to mention the people that are trying to shove you out of line. You know, we got some of those too in daycare. You know, they're like, I was here first. Get out. Shove you out of line. There are things in life that distract us and get out of line. There are people in life that will try to push us out of line. And then there's our own messed up self that'll just sometimes walk off like my poor little dog Bonnie. She just don't know what's going on half the time. She's like Magoo. She just wanders around like Mr. Magoo. So those are the three ways that we get out of line with the Word of God. We get distracted. We're like, ooh, we're going along. We're doing our thing. Next thing you know, squirrel! And we're distracted. Or somebody comes along and talks us out of something that we know is a God thing, but it just sounds good. Or we just get tired of fighting people's opinions, so we just kind of let go of it for a while. And then the third way is we just go off into the wild blue yonder on our own. If we don't follow the line leader, we will never have the fullness of a life in the Spirit and in Christ. We will never be able to lay hold of the promises of God if we aren't in line with the line leader. Our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Why? Because He says over and over in His Word that if you love me, if you're going to follow me, if you want my plan for your life, then what? You have to obey my commands. You have to do what's pleasing in my sight. You have to line yourself up with me, the line leader. And so, when we talk about being known by our fruit, we're talking about whether or not our fruit's conducted by the Holy Spirit that bears good fruit, that brings forth good fruit on our tree, or we're controlled by the flesh, and that brings forth stinky, rotten fruit. I don't know about you, but I don't want any stinky, rotten fruit. I'm telling you, have you ever had a piece of fruit or a piece of produce go rotten in your house? You are trying to track down that smell everywhere. You are looking for it. Why? Because it stinks. It's awful. It's nasty. And if you leave it there long enough, this is going to work on killing my appetite a little. If you leave it there long enough, then critters and funky mess starts growing in it. If we get our roots outside of Christ and we allow the world to bring the mess and the mold and the funk from it onto our tree, then we will begin to produce diseased, rotting fruit that gets all kinds of funky critters in it, and we get off in some kind of funky mess that God never intended because we aren't being controlled by the Spirit. We're being controlled by something else. We are not known by our intentions. We are known by our fruit. And so it's important that we have our roots deeply, firmly planted in Christ so that we grow up strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So today, we're going to talk about something that's not fun to talk about. So, gird your loins, you know. We're talking about long suffering. Nobody wants to go through long suffering. Well, what does long suffering mean? It means suffering long. Well, now let's really look at what the Greek definition of long suffering is. If you look in the Bible and you want to study it out this week, get you a concordance and look at the word in the Greek, number 3114. And I'm about to mess this up. Greek scholars, forgive me. It's makrothomeo. Makrothomeo. Long suffering. It's even hard to say in the Greek. Makrothomeo. To be long spirited. Forbearing. Patient. Bear and suffer long. Be long suffering. Have long patience. Not just have patience. Have long patience. To be patient and patiently endure. It's also related to the word makrothumeia, which is forbearance and fortitude and patience. And if you look in the good old dictionary, it says to endure injury, trouble, or provocation long and patiently. Endurance. Suffering a long time. We don't like to talk about this. This might not be warm fuzzy today. I'm sorry. You know, we'll have to fuzzy you up on a different day. Today we're just going to talk about going through some stuff. Because we all go through stuff. And I think sometimes we get this wrong vision of Christianity. That when we come to Christ, you know, we're hit with a holy stick and everything's perfect after that. And that's not how it happens. Every single person in the Bible, every single person that you study out went through some stuff. They were not immune to trials. They were not immune to tribulations. They were not immune to the mess of the world. But they had a way forward. They had victory. They had God on their side. And so they were able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as David said, without fearing evil. Why? Because God is with me. We see the mess, but the mess doesn't affect us. We walk through it, but like a nonstick skillet, it slides off. So, we're going to talk about these things this morning. And I know it's not exciting to talk about long patience, but it's necessary. If you are going to be successful in your life, if I'm going to be successful in my life, we are going to need some long patience and endurance and fortitude and long suffering. Because we will go through some things, and our attitude will affect how we go through it and the length that we go through it. Your attitude affects your length of trials and tribulations. It really does. Think about the children of Israel. They had been rounding that mountain. They were headed to the promised land. They sent out the spies. And the spies came back and said, "Look, we carried all these grapes back. You know, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, just as God said. But there are giants in the land, and we look like grasshoppers. And I just don't think we can do this. We just need to stay out in this desert a little bit longer." Notice they said, it's everything that God told us it would be, but they were scared. And their fear and their ability to not endure that situation with faith caused them to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 more years. What have you and I been wandering around for years that we didn't have to if we would get ourselves lined up with the line leader? What mountains have we been rounding long enough because we haven't gotten line with the line leader? So let's talk about long suffering. Suffering long and patience. 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 10. We put no obstruction in anybody's way. We give nobody offense in anything. This is Paul talking. So that no fault may be found in our ministry and blamed and discredited. He said, so everything we do it the best that we can. We don't offend people. We do it the way that we know the Bible says to do. We commend ourselves in every way as true servants of God. How? Through great endurance. Notice, he says, how he's able to not offend others. How he's able to follow God's will. How he's able to live a life to make God look good. How? Through great endurance. In tribulation and in suffering. In hardship and privations. In sore straits and calamities. In beatings, imprisonments, riots, labor, sleepless watching, hunger, by innocence and purity, knowledge and spiritual insight, long suffering and patience and kindness in the Holy Spirit, by unfeigned love. This is how he's saying he's made it through everything that he's gone through so far. He's gone through tribulation. He's gone through hardship. He's gone through hunger and beatings and being in prison and riots and working and watching and all this mess. Goodness, we have nothing wrong compared to him. I don't know any of you that have been beat recently or been in a riot. We go through calamity, but we make it through by the Holy Spirit, by patience, by long-suffering, in unfeigned love. How do we make it through? By speaking the word of truth in the power of God. That's how we make it through. We speak the word of truth. And if we don't know the word, we can't speak the word. That's why it's so important that we get to know the word of God. Because people say all kinds of things that aren't in the Bible. You know, we've talked about this before. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Hezekiah 2:14. Y'all turn in your Bibles to Hezekiah real quick. It's not there. Don't turn. Stop. It sounds good, but God didn't say it. Now, that's no excuse to go home, throw everything in the floor, and say, well, Pastor Kelly says it ain't in the Bible. No, we do things with excellence. But we need to know the Word of God so we can speak the Word of God and so we can have spiritual insight as to what God would have us to do. So by speaking the Word of truth and the power of God with weapons of righteousness for the right hand to attack and the left hand to defend amid honor and dishonor in defaming and evil report and in praise and give report. So he said, I've been through people talking about me. I've been through people lying on me. I've been through people beating me up. I've been in prison. I've been through some stuff. I've had to work. I've had to stay up all night watching because I was concerned for my safety. I've been in calamity. I've been in some tight spots. I've been in hardship. I've been in lack. I've been hungry a few times, but I made it through the power of God. As deceivers and imposters, yes, vindicated, truthful, honest, we are treated as unknown and ignored by the world, yet we are well known and recognized by God. As dying, yet here we are alive. As chastened by suffering, yet we're not killed. As grieved and in mourning, yet notice this. We are always rejoicing. So how are we going to make it through hard times? We go through grieving. We go through mourning. We go through chastening. We go through suffering. Always rejoicing. Always rejoicing. Always rejoicing. That's how we get through tribulation. That's how we get through hard times. That's why we've already talked about joy and the fruit of the Spirit, because it's so important that we have our joy, because the Bible says that's where our strength comes from. We also talked about how merry hearts do good like medicine. That's how we stay with it. We stay sane. Rejoicing. As pour ourselves Yeah, bestowing riches on many. So he said, we don't even take the fact that we don't have much as an excuse not to give to others. We bless other people anyway with what we have. And isn't that the truth? Many times I've heard people say, well, I can't really do anything right now because I'm not rich. Or I don't have a lot. Little is much when God is in it. And He will take your little and He will multiply it just like He multiplied the loaves and fishes and fed the thousands. If you are willing to give your loaves and fishes, He will multiply it and use it. But that's another lesson for another day. Having nothing and yet in reality possessing all things. Having nothing and yet in reality possessing all things. When we have our life controlled by the Spirit and we're walking in line with Christ, obeying His commands and doing what the Word of God says, it may look like we have nothing. It may look like we're down to nothing. But in reality, we possess all things. Because that is the true meaning and joy of life. Is having a life filled and in Christ. Ephesians 4, 2 through 3. Living as becomes you, with complete lowliness of mind and humility and meekness and unselfishness and mildness, with patience, bearing with one another, making allowances because you love one another. Sometimes it's difficult to bear one another. You know? It's not easy. There are some people whose personalities you just don't get along with. Sometimes it's difficult to bear one another. But it's biblical. Make allowances because you love one another. Be eager and strive to live earnestly to guard and keep harmony and oneness produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. And we talked about peace last week. And all of these fruit of the Spirit go hand in hand. They all work together. It's hard to do some long suffering when you don't make allowances for anybody else. Because every little thing will get on your nerves and then your eyes get bigger and bigger and the blood boils and boils and you can just see the temperature rising and the steam is starting to escape from the ears and you know trouble is on the way. We won't be able to go through long suffering if we don't walk in peace. If we don't walk in love. If we don't walk in joy, if we don't have the whole fruit of the Spirit, we can't just cut it up and say, okay, I'll take the peace, but forget that long-suffering mess. And that temperance, yeah, forget that too. And I don't feel like loving today, so I just want the peace. Give me that piece of the fruit, just the peace. Take everything else. We can go through long-suffering, and we can be patient with one another, through peace, because we're makers and maintainers of peace, like we talked about last week, and we make allowances for one another, and we don't let stuff get on our nerves. Stuff gets on my nerves sometimes. This last week, stuff got on my nerves. And if you're honest, stuff got on your nerves this last week too. We need to get our nerves covered by the blood of the Holy Spirit so nothing gets on them. Work on me, Jesus. We can long suffer. We can have long patience because we make allowances for one another. Colossians 1, 10 through 11. That you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So not only do we got to be patient, Not only do we get the opportunity to have long suffering, but we also get the opportunity to do it with joy. Long suffering with joy. Patience with joy. God has called us to be patient people, to endure, to have stick-to-itiveness, to not give up, and keep our joy. Colossians chapter 3, 12 and 13. Clothe yourself as God's chosen ones, His own picked representatives, who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God Himself, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted piety, mercy, kind feeling, lowly opinion of yourself, not being prideful, having a gentle way, and patience. And notice this definition of patience, which is tireless and long-suffering and has the power to endure whatever comes with a good temper. So, when we talk about long-suffering, we're not talking about just sitting there and dealing with it. Yeah, I'm suffering long over here, having that long patience. We're talking about doing it with a good attitude. Going through trials with a good attitude. Having a gentle way. Being tireless in your long suffering. We all need help in this area. You'll hear this when we talk about temperance, but my grandpa Doggett, that man, my dad's dad, he never got mad. Grandpa Doggett never, ever, I can't even tell you when I saw him throw down in the Doggett household. Never a day in my life. Now, my dad told stories of him getting whooped by him, but I don't think it was out of anger ever. But he was yielding some peaceable fruit in my daddy's life at the time. But the only way you ever knew my grandpa Doggett was mad is he would sit in his chair and he'd go, "Pfft." That was it. He'd just go, "Pfft." And you knew he was fuming. If you ever heard him sniff his nose, woo! He had some long suffering. He was a World War II vet, wounded in the Philippines. Went through a lot of sickness over his leg. He got shot in his leg, gangrene set up in it. He went through pain the rest of his life after that. He went through some stuff. I could tell you story after story of things that my grandma and grandpa dog had endured. But the only way you ever knew he was even mildly upset is he went, and you knew when you heard that, it got bad. He was great at long suffering. He knew the value of patience and long endurance. Now me, I may sniff, but there's more after the sniff. That sniff is a Doggett thing. My dad used to do it too. We need to work on us. Towards the end of my grandpa Doggett's life, I did see him get frustrated one time, and this was towards the end, and I'm not sure exactly where his mental states were lying at the time, but he was driving us to Little Rock. It was after the wreck that we had in, I think it was 1994, and he was driving me and the guy that we took in, my adopted brother, and I don't know if mom wasn't with us, and my sister-in-law at the time, and we were driving on the interstate, and we were crossing the bridge to go to the hospital, and he got out. Well, first of all, a bird had hit our window, okay? The bird just flew into our window. It didn't break it. That scared me enough because we had just been in a wreck with a log truck like a week before that. And so the bird hit the window, and I was already freaking out back there, like, oh my goodness. And we were in this, I don't even know what model, blue Oldsmobile, right? I don't know what it was. Anyway, it was an old car, but it was still running. And he pulled out from behind an 18-wheeler and charged another one head on. And we were going, Grandpa Doggett, hey, you want, I don't know if you can make it, and you know, you may want, and he jumped up in front of that 118-wheeler, swerved back in the other lane, and he said, you sorry suit. That's as rough as he ever got with his language. He said, you sorry suit. Lord, help us that we could get to the point where we just went, and you sorry suit. You know, he was a testament of a man who lived at peace. We need to get to that point where we can suffer long and be at peace no matter what comes. No matter what trial, no matter what tribulation. The power to endure whatever comes with a good temper. Be gentle and forbearing with one another. And if you have a difference or a grievance or a complaint against another, readily pardon each other. Even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you forgive also. So when we're going through stuff, it's really easy to blame somebody else for the stuff that we're going through. Well, if they wouldn't have done that, then this wouldn't have happened to me. And if my mama would not have treated me like that, this wouldn't have happened to me. And if he wouldn't have taken away my snack, I wouldn't have made bad choices. You know, we go through some stuff. But we can't play the victim and blame other people. It says, if you have a grievance, if you have a difference, readily pardon each other. Quickly pardon each other. Don't be like, I've been mad at you for 3 days and you hadn't said I'm sorry yet, so I'm done. No, that's not biblical. That's not biblical at all, because the Bible says, Jesus said himself, if you don't forgive others, Jesus won't forgive you. So we've got to be quick to pardon. Well, it wasn't my fault. Well, who cares? Sorry. The Bible says, readily pardon one another. Be quick to forgive. Another place, Ephesians said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry and sin not. It also says in that chapter in Ephesians 4, rejoice evermore. Don't hold stuff, because you won't go through anything with any kind of grace if we're constantly trying to blame others for why we're in the situation that we're in. In this long suffering, we have to take responsibility and say, you know what? It's nobody else's fault. I will go through this, and God is on my side, and I will walk through it on the other side, and I will come out of this stuff. I'm not going to park and build a monument and wail there 14 days and have a pity party over it. I'm going to walk through. I'm not going to get stuck on the journey. Oh, I got the truck stuck this week. The truck got stuck in the yard, and I was on my way to a meeting. And so, evidently, this is what my husband told me I did. I'm not really sure what I did. But when the tires were spinning, and I put it in park before the tires quit spinning, and it locked up the transmission, and it wasn't going nowhere. Nothing would work. All the electronics stopped. Everything. The whole entire truck shut down. And if we get out in the mud of the world and in the muck and the mess, and we start playing the blame game with other people when we go through trials and tribulations, we will spin our wheels, throw it into park, our transmission will lock, and we won't go any further with God. We won't. We won't go any further. Thank goodness for my friend Reggie and his guys who came and showed us where the button was to unlock the transmission. And on all of us is a button that will unlock our transmission and allow us to go. And that button is repentance and forgiveness and readily pardoning and asking for forgiveness from God. That will get your transmission unstuck. I learned a lot about vehicles this week. 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 3. Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand, and be ready. Whether the opportunity seems favorable or not favorable, whether it's convenient or not convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome, you as the preacher of the word are to show the people in what way their lives are wrong, convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging, and encouraging them. Be unflagging and inexhaustible in patience. Be inexhaustible in patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate the sound of wholesome instruction, but they'll have itching ears for something pleasing and gratifying and fuzzy given. And they will gather them together themselves, one teacher after another, to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors that they hold. What is this verse of Scripture saying? Be ready and willing to say what the Word of God says, and be inexhaustible in your patience to do it. Whether it's welcome or unwelcome, we always need to speak the Word of God. We always need to speak the Word of God. We always need to speak the Word of God. Speaking the Word of God, praise and worship and joy are the fastest way to get through our trials and tribulations. Everybody wants a quick fix. Everybody wants a microwave solution. This is as quick as it gets. You patiently endure with joy, speaking the Word of God, praying and praising. That's the way. That's what the Bible says. That's the only way. All other roads lead to destruction. Don't be those ones with itching ears, looking just for something to make you feel all warm and fuzzy. That's why not everything that I say, and I hope it doesn't anyway, makes us feel warm fuzzy. I hope that what I say challenges us, challenges me, challenges you to change and grow and do better and become every single thing that God has for us. It's going to take patience. The quality of being patient as bearing provocation and annoyances and misfortune and pain without complaint or loss of temper, without irritation or the like. The ability or willingness to suppress relentless annoyance when confronted with delay. Quiet, steady, perseverance, even-tempered care and diligence. Long-suffering and patience are the same thing. So let's take a quick look at a few verses of Scripture about patience. Luke 21:19. By your steadfastness and patient endurance, you will win the true life of your soul. If you want true life, if you want true life in Christ, you and I are going to have to be steadfast and patient. And it's going to take some endurance. Romans 5, 3-4. Moreover, let us be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our suffering, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient, unwavering endurance. And endurance and fortitude develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. So if we want maturity, everybody talks about being mature in Christ and growing up in God. And well, how do we do it? We go through some stuff. And we do it with joy. That's how we grow. That's how we go forward. If we did every single thing for our children, they would never learn. I tell that to the kids all the time at school. They come for help with algebra or math or English or whatever it is. And of course, as a natural kid does, they want you to do it for daycare. Come tie my shoe. You know, whatever it is, do it. Do it for me. Walk me through it. And I tell them, if I always do this for you, you will never learn. If we always tie your shoe, you will never learn. So what do? We set them up to struggle. Yes, we do that. They tie their own shoe, and it takes them half an hour. And you just sitting there, and you're in anguish and gnashing of teeth by that point, because you just want to go, okay, loop, loop, done. But we know that they need to struggle and learn and figure it out on their own. The fastest way to grow and mature, maturity and character and integrity come through the fiery furnace. Romans 15:4. Whatever thus is written in former days, as was written for our instruction, that by steadfast and patient endurance and the encouragement drawn from the Scriptures, we might hold fast to and cherish hope. We need to be encouraged by the Word of God. When we're going through long suffering and long patience, we need to be encouraged by the Word of God. Hold fast to it, and that will bring us hope. Hebrews 10:36. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance. Why? So you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy the full of what is promised. If we are going to accomplish the will of God, we are going to have the quality of patience and endurance. We are going to have to be willing to long suffer. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such great a cloud of witnesses who have borne the testimony of truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and sin which so readily and cleverly clings to us and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady active persistence the appointed course of the race that's set before us. We're going to have to strip off the junk of the world, get rid of the mess, declutter our life spiritually. It's impatience. We go through mess. We go through trials. Sometimes they're caused by us. Sometimes they're caused by the devil. But remember, our battle is not with flesh and blood. I almost said our battle is with flesh and blood. There are times that you want to think that way. But that's not biblical. Our battle is with us and our mind and the devil. And if we get that under control and we learn to endure and be patient, then our faith will be proved and we will see the end result of it. James 5:8. You must be patient. Have you ever said that, those of you with children, to your children before? You must be patient. Establish your heart. Strengthen and confirm them in certainty, for the coming of the Lord is very near. You know, there was a time when I was a little girl that I wanted to go to the mall. That's when we lived in Fort Smith, and we lived by a mall. But I wanted to go to a mall really, really bad. And I was like, Mama, when are we going to go to the mall? Because Mom had told me I could get something that I really, really wanted when we were at the mall. And I come back 20 minutes later, Mama, when are we going to the mall? Come back 15 minutes later, Mama, when can we go? What time are we leaving? Just tell me, what time, Mama? Mom looked at me and said, if you ask me one more time, what time are we going to that mall, we're not going. What was she telling me? You must be patient. So I am cleverness, I guess. I don't know if it was cleverness or stupidity. Came back 15 minutes later and said, I wonder what the people at the mall are doing right now. I didn't ask to go to the mall. I was just wondering what they were doing. Wonder if they were shopping at the toy store. You must be patient. You must long suffer. I'm sorry. I know that doesn't sound awesome. And I know that doesn't make you want to sign your name on the dotted line. But let me tell you this, you're going to suffer either way. Whether you're with God or you're without God, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. We will suffer either way. But in Christ, rooted in Him, we have hope that if we endure, there is victory at the end. If we follow the line leader and we run our race with patience, there is a finish line and an appointed destination filled for the victors that run their race. Get in behind the line leader and let's run this thing. I don't know about you. I've ran a couple of 5Ks. I hadn't got brave enough for a marathon. I think those days have passed me. Those days only lasted for about 2 years. That's when I was jumping fire and crawling through mud and climbing stuff. Whew. But it takes some endurance to run a race. You got to pace yourself. Don't try to sprint all the way through. You got to pace yourself. Time the thing. Get on track and in track with the Lord. And you notice that when you run, if you're running in a team, it's easier if you get behind somebody because you got them. They're breaking that wind first for you so you can stand behind them and you can catch a little extra speed on the situation. And it's the same way. God is going before us. He said in Isaiah, I will go before you and make your crooked places straight. I'll break down the gates. But you got to get in line. If you're not behind the line leader, then you're going to go through the brush and through the mess all by yourself. You better grab a machete because it's going to be some tough sledding. We got to get behind the line leader and endure and know that it's not always going to be easy, but it's definitely worth it. Let's stand. God, thank you for the opportunity to love and serve you. God, thank you that we can come to you and ask for forgiveness, because I'm sure if we were all honest in this room, long suffering is an area that we all need help in, because none of us like to go through stuff. God, help us to patiently endure with joy and temperance. Help us to be a tree producing every fruit in the fruit of the Spirit, every single piece. God, give us the strength to walk through difficult times with your...
Thank you for joining us for Life Church broadcast today. We want to hear from you. You can write to us at Post Office Box 1004, Monticello, Arkansas, 71657, or you can call us at 870-460-0829. Also, check out our new website, www.getlife.co. That's www.getlife.co. There you can find our pastor's sermon notes and see what we're doing all around the world as well as at home. We would love to have you in service with us. Come check us out at Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. or Tuesday evening prayer at 7 p.m. and we would love to see you there. We're located at 910 Old Warren Road, right in Monticello, Arkansas. Now remember, go this week and live to make God look good. God bless you till we're with you again.